Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, I might add. Indeed, second to none.
Bud and Bud Light, 18 pack cans, $10.47. Where are you going to find a lower price than that on a holiday weekend?
Right before your tailgating. How about that?
Got to get there today. Get there before you go to the game tomorrow.
Oh, my goodness. Of course. Absolutely. That is awesome. Now, if you want garlic pickles, you know, pick up an extra for Buhner. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Labor Day weekend, great time to buy a car. All right. Play-by-play call of the day. I was shocked. Clemson covered.
Lawrence, back behind him into his right-hand side. That's Etienne, and delay handoff to Etienne. And Etienne up the left hash, bounces it outside, gets to the numbers at the 20, 25, 40. Up the side, and it goes 40, 45, 50. He's on his way. Nobody between him but green grass, and he goes 90 for a touchdown.
And Don, that ties for the longest run in Clemson history. The longest by a Tiger since 1951.
Yep, I heard some people this morning. Oh boy, see, Lawrence didn't look that great last night. He didn't look great. Etienne runs for 200 yards. I think they're fine. Now, they got Texas A&M this weekend. That should be very, very interesting. That's our play-by-play call of the day. So this morning, I had to record four items for the football TV show for Channel 3. So I took care of that this morning. Then went over to Channel 3 for a little bit, and I wanted to make sure I ran off last night's Buffalo game, because that's next. So I wanted to have that ready for Sunday. Then I looked around, I'm like, going, okay, it's 10:30. So I'm going to go over the golf course. So I went over the golf course this morning. I play through a couple of groups, and of course, guess what is the reaction I get when I'm playing through a couple of groups?
Let's see. Day before a game, they were probably shocked that they saw you.
Yes.
It's like you're not prepping for the game. So
I said, do you want to play through? I said, yeah, sure, I want to play. Oh, I know that voice. Yeah. And what are you doing out here? I said, I'm playing golf. Seemed like the correct answer.
Yeah.
Didn't feel like I was lying.
Captain Obvious over here. Okay, great.
I said, I've been ready for weeks. I said, it's a little free time to myself. Just want to get out here and play. I actually play pretty well. Now, a guy that plays all the time, to the point where I think he's close to getting his web.com card.
Oh, wow.
Oh, he's that good. Nate Bauer. Nate, how are you? Welcome.
You know, my kicking days are over, Steve.
I know that.
I don't even want to try my hand at it.
Oh, I know I don't. There was a kid. Remember when Redland Little League came in? And Redland Little League, and didn't they win the Little League World Series one year, Redland? And that team came into a Penn State practice. You know, they're 11 and 12, so they're allowed to be there. Right? They had one of the kids kick like a 35-yard field goal. He banged the thing right down the middle. You gotta be kidding me. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, I love the halftime Dr. Pepper, Allstate, whatever.
Oh.
Listen, anybody can make a three-pointer, right? And even a half-court shot is, whatever. You know, some go in, some don't. But, I mean, you gotta, it's not luck. You gotta have a boot down there to knock one through the uprights like that.
Absolutely.
I love it. I live
for it.
It's what I'm here for. I'm here for the halftime show.
I'm on two segments out of three at halftime. All right. So let's get to the game itself. Penn State obviously is a prohibitive favorite. So what will you be looking for tomorrow now that you get to see it against somebody else?
That is a great question. I am looking for Penn State to put up truckloads of points, and really that's about it, because I'm working on this theory, Steve, and you can either back me up or not, but Penn State's last nine games of the 2018 season were on the scale of disappointment offensively. I mean, it was they had to shift their identity. I get it. There were a lot of factors that went into it. Certainly Trace wasn't healthy the whole time. But, you know, an offense that put up 55.5 points in the first four games of the season turned into one that was putting up 21 points through the last nine games of the season. And so when you have that wide of a disparity, I don't care who the competition is, and you can't put up 40 points, you can't crack 40 the rest of the way, to me, that suggests that, you know, there were some problems. There were some problems with what Penn State was doing offensively. And obviously you saw that in the receivers. You saw that with Trace a little bit. So for me, clean slate. Ricky Ronay, new quarterback, Sean Clifford, new running back. You know, you've got all of these new pieces or relatively new pieces, that have this opportunity. And whether or not, a team like Idaho, whose defense is as bad as it is, this is the time where you start to build up some confidence and you start to get back a little bit of that mojo that I feel like they lost through the backside of last season.
And an Idaho defense that's missing its best player, who was suspended for the game.
Yeah, and is terrible anyway. I mean, there's no sense in beating around the bush that this Idaho team is awful. They aren't good for an FCS level. So Penn State should absolutely have its way with them. And it's about can they do that? Can they start to generate some of the points that they lost at the end of last season?
What can this defense do to help them generate some points?
Certainly I don't think Idaho's offense was what 66.
I don't mean just tomorrow though. I mean going forward.
I think it's a good point. It's certainly complementary football plays into it, and I do think that you're gonna see a team this season that wants to have its defense have an offensive mindset, and so if they're rushing four and they don't have to bring extra and can get to the quarterback as often as I think that they can unassisted, that changes the dynamic of what you're doing with your linebackers, and particularly in the secondary. Your mindset change. When you're a quarterback, you're a safety and you're in pass coverage for whatever it is, 3 seconds instead of four or five, or 2 seconds, whatever that standard is that you're looking for, it changes your mindset, and it changes what you're able to do from just being necessarily, all corners and all safeties want to feel like they can lock down anyone for as long as they want. And maybe that's the case with this group. But what's more important for them and what's more important for this team's success is for them to be able to start generating turnovers, which they haven't done over the past couple of seasons. So, yeah, it's definitely an opportunity time for them as well this season.
During the game, it's Jack Ham and me. So the two of us do the game, talk back and forth. That's what we do. You're in an interactive mode. Mm-hmm. What is that like, communicating with the fans during the game?
Yeah. That's an interesting question. I stay away from Twitter for the most part during the game. I'm not as funny as everybody else is. I have no insights to share.
Oh no! Don't sell yourself short.
No, well, listen, I'm just trying to be honest here. I mostly avoid that realm, but certainly I chime in a little bit on our message board. And what I find is rational conversation cannot be found with fans during a football game. It's just, and I get it. I haven't been on that side of things of rooting for really anybody in, coming up on 15 years now. So it's a little bit foreign to me at this point, but I get it. Anything short of a touchdown on every play is unacceptable. And certainly you've got a lot of different personalities of fans, people who become, what is the word, disgruntled. There's a difference between feeling dejected.
How about overwrought?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's just are you disappointed that something didn't happen, or are you mad that something didn't happen? And I tend to not be very good with either of those personality traits. I don't gravitate towards that, Steve. I'm the glass is half full for me. I just naturally am looking for the positives in anything that I'm looking at, and so I tend to try to chime in when I can, try to throw some things out there occasionally, but for the most part, put it this way, you're the luckier, right, to have one person in that cockpit with you. And they're the only person that you have to agree with or disagree with.
Who happens to be that person?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm even luckier than that. I got the person.
Yeah. The guy.
Yeah. It's interesting because when I've done BTN, and I remember working a couple times with Jim Jackson, whom I like very, very much. I think Jim does a great job. He's a great guy to work with. All right. He'd have to do in commercial breaks Twitter.
Mm.
Right.
Yep.
I've never had to do that, nor would I ever want to do that. Because you're trying to do a game, to sit there and chit chat with, whomever on whatever. It's like, please. I couldn't do that.
I find that occasionally. I've only got two eyes. I see what I see in game. I don't really have an opportunity in the press box to watch the broadcast. And so sometimes Twitter can be a good resource in terms of what other people notice, either in the stadium.
Yeah, something they saw. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Or on the broadcast. What I don't want from Twitter or from the message board, and, largely this is how it is, are opinions. And so opinions are very useless to me in that situation, but facts and insights, those
right.
sorts of things are. So that is the lone redeeming trait of our social media world during a game.
You know, it's interesting because something will happen on the sideline and TV will pick up on it. And I don't see, because when I'm looking at the sideline, I'm looking to see what the personnel changes are.
Yep.
So, you know, is who's, you know, what package is in, what sub package is going out, whatever it may be. And yep. Somebody will say to me later, did you see whatever? And well, I'll sit there, I don't know, because on TV they showed it. Not, you know, I'm not doing the game off TV.
Right. Right. And so, you know, the whole debacle at the bowl of McSorley's foot.
Oh, yeah. You know, okay.
I had no idea. I knew he wasn't in the game, and you could see him maybe running around a little bit down there trying to test it out. But without TV cameras or what somebody else is seeing through their binoculars, it's really tough to tell.
Yeah, because I was Derek Williams in a commercial break mentioned something to us, and I didn't say it on the air. The reason I didn't say it on the air was I wanted to make sure. Like, I wanted to make sure, like, if he's, you know, and then he came back in. So not saying anything turned out to be the right tact and the right way to go. So,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, get ready. You'll be by your keyboard. I will be, of course, sitting next to somebody smarter than me. And we'll go from there.
I'm not ready, Steve. But I'll
You're
get
not
there.
Ready.
No, I'm not ready.
Oh.
Come on.
Oh my goodness! Oh, I'm ready.
I shot 80 today. You know, I'm squeezing the last drop of summer.
I shot 39 back nine on blue today, and I botched 18. No, I botched 18. I bogeyed 18. That hole's easy for me. And it was just because I had pulled like six holes in a row or something like that. I'm like, I feel great. I get to 18. I'm like, okay, who's this person?
little loosey-goosey down the stretch, huh?
Oh, now you're using the big words from years gone by.
That's right. That's my golf analysis right there.
Perfect, you know. In fact, Ian Baker Finch, out, you're in.
I'm in. Hey, I'll take it. Absolutely.
Appreciate you as always. Thanks, Nate. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, welcome back. Great to have you with us on the show. King coming up final half hour. All of our picks, our first picks for the season. The medical examiner in Texas has ruled that Angels pitcher Tyler Skaggs died from an accidental overdose of drugs and alcohol. The Tarrant County Medical Examiner's Office said in a report released today that Skaggs had a powerful painkiller. He had fentanyl and oxycodone in his system along with alcohol. 27-year-old was found dead in his hotel room in the Dallas area July 1st before the start of a four-game series with Texas. Skaggs' family released a statement to the Los Angeles Times today. We are heartbroken to learn that the passing of our beloved Tyler was the result of a combination of dangerous drugs and alcohol. That is completely out of character for someone who worked so hard to become a Major League Baseball player and had a very promising future in the game he loved so much. We are grateful for the work of the detectives in the South Lake Police Department and their ongoing investigation into the circumstances surrounding Tyler's death. We were shocked to learn that it may involve an employee of the Los Angeles Angels. We will not rest until we learn the truth about how Tyler came into possession of these narcotics, including who supplied them. To that end, we have hired attorney Rusty Harden to assist us. Harden has represented several high-profile athletes, including Roger Clemens. Said, I think the thing to keep in mind is that they're still so devastated, both the wife and the family, about this young man's death, and they want to know what happened and how it happened, Harden told the LA Times. We're going to want to know how it came about that those drugs were ingested and whether or not others are responsible for what happened. The lawyer also told the Times it is way too early to speculate on any potential legal action by the Skaggs family. So you knew when it was taking this long and had to involve toxicology. Usually toxicology is 6 weeks. I mean, we're almost 8 weeks now. How bad is it that
that years of doing this job, so many things have happened over the years that even I know it's 6 weeks on toxicology tests. Wow. Well, the king is in the final half hour. We have picks to make. Pretty good, huh? We're going to have a good time. Sean, the defending champion, has put no effort into this so far.
None. Caution to the wind. I just need to relax and not stress out.
Well, I'm not stressed. I don't care where I finish.
Patiently waited all summer to buy that new car or truck.
Well, this is it. Hurry into all Sunbury Motors locations now through Saturday.
At Sunbury Motors Ford,
it's the final days of the Hurry Up and Save sales event. Choose from over 100 new 2019 Ford F-150s with discounts as high as $14,500. And choose from over 50 2019 Ford Escapes. They start at $17,985.
At Sunbury Motors Hyundai,
a 2019 Hyundai Kona SE starts at just $2,852. There's 13 2019 Tucson SE starting at $22,619. And a 2020 Elantra SE is under 20 grand at $19,089.
At Sunbury Motors Kia,
there's 0% financing for up to 75 months on select 2019 Kia Optimas, Sportages, Cadenzas, Sedonas, and Serenos. Your interest rate will be zero until 2025.
And the summer with a new vehicle.
From Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf.
Sunbury Motors.
Brewers Outlet, Brewers Outlet, Brewers Outlet, Bud Light 1047, Bud Light 1047, Bud Light 1047, Brewers Outlet, Brewers Outlet, Bud Light 1047, Bud Light 1047. Now that's what I'm talking about. Brewers Outlet has Bud and Bud Light 18-pack 12-ounce cans for just $10.47. Get it? We got it. Pickles, ice, cigars, lottery, and all your beverage and party needs are a one-stop shop at The Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket, get ready for your tailgate. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts, freshen out every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Buhner loves the garlic ones. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And now, we allow the defending champion to introduce our guest.
Friday tradition unlike any other on the Steve Jones Show. The pride and joy of Connecticut. The most interesting man up and down the entire Atlantic coast.
Really,
Steve's brother, Kevin Jones.
I mean, really, no, the entire coast.
Yeah.
Shamalama, ding dong. What up? Had an interesting week. I told you we're selling our house, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And we're like, man, this is going to be... So I have a guy walk into the office, and I'm not going to mention names, and he says, I want to buy your house. I said, okay. When? We don't have one to move into yet. So right. He goes, well, I'll work it out so that you can stay in the house as long as you need to before you buy a house, and I'll pay cash.
Good start.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's got the cash, trust me. I don't have a lot of friends, but the friends I have are, like, really rich. So I'm like, okay. So I called my wife and said, we installed the rails, we're all set, and I sold the house. So...
Your price?
No middleman, no nothing. And it's for real.
Your price? Your price?
Yeah, we got $250,000 for it.
Oh.
It's like, you know, that's just never happened to me before. It's in my bucket list, so once I got off my bucket list,
wow.
I was like, holy crap, you've got to be kidding me.
See, I told you. Oh. Last week, you were concerned you wouldn't be able to afford those, you know, University of Connecticut Lady Husky basketball season tickets.
Now
you're good.
Yeah, I'm corporate now.
Wow.
Yeah, and the place that we're looking at, it's right next to the entrance to UConn. Campbell Pavilion's like 3/4 of a mile from the house. So, yeah,
wow.
I'm really excited to move there. So, and it's great because it's a retirement village, so we're downsizing big time. But so that was an exciting time for me and my wife. We were like, wow, that's just a big, big thing off your plate, you know. You want to do something, but you don't know how you can swing it. And it got swung just like that. And he went over and talked to Claire last night. And I didn't even know he was there. So she's happy that she's absolutely the quarterback, you know, because it was her property. So
right.
So, shamalama ding dong. How about our picks?
You already won.
Yeah, I was
going to
say.
No, I'm going for the juggler. The other thing I'm in, there's 30 people in it now. So if you win a week, you win $150. If you win the whole thing, you win $300. So each week, you put in $5 for it. So, man, it's huge.
Now, is it college and pro, or is it just NFL picks?
Just NFL. It's a confidence point. Confidence point type of thing. I've explained it to you before. You pick the winning team, that's one thing, but then it's numbers 1 through 16. So if I think the Patriots are going to beat Buffalo, and I am 100% sure they're going to win the game, I give that game 16 points. If the Giants are playing the Jets, and I'm not sure who's going to win, then I pick, say, the Giants, but I only give that game a 1 point, you know. And then you add up how many you get right at the end, and whoever gets the most points wins. It's pretty cool. It's a really neat pool. I've never seen one like it. So, yeah. I've won it a couple of times, won the whole thing. And each year I get it. Last year I just struggled completely in our pool and in that one. I didn't win 1 week. I won nothing. I was like, wow.
You obviously needed the $250K. All right, so.
Hey, I got to contribute, you know. No, I won absolutely nothing last year. I had that cellulitis, and I don't know. It just wasn't a good year, but we're all better now, so are we ready? We got a lot of games to pick.
All right, we're all 0-0. All right. I only mentioned this one final time. 78-32 was the
unbelievable
record
year
last year. So.
No one will match that.
I know. That's the thing. I'm just throwing, I'm just going to throw something to the wall and see if it sticks. That'll be my mantra this season. So I just don't want to overanalyze. I don't want to overthink and overstress. And so.
It was
right,
a runaway after week two.
Yeah. Kickoff's at 3:30 tomorrow, so let's get to it.
All right, so
you got to get one of these.
All right, so we got
your turn to win one.
We got 2 Friday night games, 4 Saturday, and then we'll cap it off with the Monday nighter with Matt Catrillo's Fighting Irish. All right, so tonight we've got UMass and Rutgers. 363. What does that number mean?
That's how many days since Rutgers won a game.
You are correct. 11-game losing streak going into tonight's matchup. So
it's kind of why I picked this game, because we've got to see how good Rutgers is. You know, that have they rebounded and put them up against a team that they should beat. So who's first?
Well, I will go first. I'll take Rutgers. I just think they got more players on their team than UMass, but we'll see.
Steve-O?
I really want to pick UMass. I really do. Especially considering the outstarting outside linebacker. I just personally really like Jarvis Miller, who was here at Penn State and then transferred. Parents live in Suffield.
But I feel so dirty saying I'm picking Rutgers. I feel like I want to go wash. So I'll pick Rutgers.
Yeah, I'm taking Rutgers too. UMass is in a rebuilding year from not a real great team.
Yeah,
new
UMass is
a,
what really
everything, and Rutgers has experience.
What really helps Rutgers is UMass is bad. Okay.
Okay.
Also tonight, 10 o'clock, we've got Colorado State at Colorado.
Sean,
I will choose Colorado, just home team on that.
Yeah, you know what? I really, really want to pick Colorado State, but I just don't think they're ready yet to beat them. So Colorado.
Yeah, Colorado seems to have their number in this matchup. Hard to bet against them because they've really dominated it. So I'll take Colorado.
All right, on to the Saturday games. Saturday at 4, you've got Northwestern at Stanford.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Northwestern. I think one splash play will give him the upset win.
Well, first of all, let's start with that this is a game where Northwestern is going to go with a first-time quarterback on the road. I think defensively they're really good, by the way. I think Northwestern's defense, led by Patty Fisher, are really good. But I'm going to go with Stanford because they're the home team. And I think that's the only that's to me is the saving grace in this is that they're the home team.
Yeah, I agree. And Northwestern's in a rebuilding year, a new quarterback. I just give the edge to Stanford. So, but Northwestern's a good pick. I actually scratched off. I put Northwestern and scratched it off and put Stanford.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a good game. So,
yep.
Well, there we got a difference.
Okay.
That's how you win them.
Boise State and Florida State tomorrow. So this game was supposed to be later in the day. It's been moved to Tallahassee at 12 noon. Because of the logistics of moving the game, that's pretty much the only reason why I'm going to take Florida State. I was going to take Boise State on this one. If this would have been a home, if this would have been no logistics involved, I would have took Boise State.
Well, I on the TV show I picked Boise State. This is before they moved it. They are selling tickets at Florida State for $10 per. $10. But here's the bottom line. I realize that Florida State gets to sleep in their own beds tonight. They don't have to travel by bus over to Jacksonville. I just think Boise State's better, and I don't think Florida State's very good, especially on the offensive line. I'm picking Boise.
Yeah, I agree with Steve. I was going to switch it up and had Boise and then switch it up, and Florida's got to prove something. They've taken a big step down, and they got to prove it. Boise is solid every year,
Their offensive line is
very
bad.
Well-coached team, so I'm taking
Boise
offensive
line. Their offensive line is bad.
Yeah.
I mean, most offensive lines in this country are not great. For example, we've been told for years, the Oklahoma offensive line, they're the best offensive line in the country. Excuse me. The two biggest games they played in the last year were Georgia and Alabama, and they crushed them up front.
Right. I also think this, the emergence of UCF, Southern Florida, the pool down there of players, they're not necessarily all going to Florida State and Florida anymore.
That's right.
I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but I think it does. They're not getting every single great athlete out of Florida anymore. They're going to other schools. So,
yeah.
Because neither team has done well the last few years.
No.
Yet UCF and South Florida have picked up their game, and that the other Florida team with
South Florida
names, the ex-coach from
South
Alabama.
Florida, Charlie Strong. Oh, you're talking about Lane Kiffin at Florida Atlantic.
Yes, yes. I mean, they're grabbing up some of these good players, and they're not necessarily going to those schools anymore. So.
Well, Florida Atlantic's got Ohio State tomorrow. We'll see how long they can hang with the Buckeyes.
Yeah.
They'll get...
What if they win?
Yeah.
No, they'll get crushed.
Yeah. Probably the only thing interesting to see what Lane will say in the presser.
Yeah.
Post game.
Sure, try to go back to Alabama. He's a good coach. He knows what he's doing.
All right, yeah, Prime. In fact,
in fact, to his credit, he'll be the first to tell you.
All right, three to go. This will be in Jerry World in Arlington tomorrow night. Prime time, your ABC game with Chris and Herbie. Oregon and Auburn.
Auburn. I'm going to go first. Auburn. All right. Oregon, you know how much I think the world of Juwan Johnson. I really do. And he'll have a really good year, and so will Justin Herbert. But right now, in my opinion, a Pac-12 team cannot compete with an American Conference team, let alone an SEC team.
Yeah, we're talking about new starting quarterbacks. Auburn has one, but that didn't stop me from choosing Auburn either. I got the Tigers.
Yeah, I took Auburn, too. I think they're too physical for them. I mean, you just don't, you're not sure if Oregon has that high-flying, coast-to-coast offense. You don't know. There's too many. Auburn is always solid defensively, and they'll bang it down their throats. So.
They can outrun them at every turn.
Yep, that's what I think. So we agree.
All right. Late night tomorrow night, Saturday night, 10:30. You got Fresno State at USC.
Fresno's really well coached. Really well. Jeff Tedford, really well coached. Yet you look at USC, they've got to win. Got to. Here's the key. Fresno State is breaking in a new quarterback. I think in the end that allows USC to win it.
Yep. I've got the Trojans also.
I don't trust USC. I took Fresno because Steve said they're well coached. They won their league last year. And they're just a very, very good football team, and sometimes a good team can beat better athletes. USC has better athletes because they're USC, but they're not necessarily well-coached. So, or they haven't proven it yet. Anyway, right. So I took Fresno.
Yeah.
And then prime time on Monday night, we've got Notre Dame at Louisville.
Who's that? Oh, jeez, Cotrillo in the background. Manny. Come on, take the pom-poms off. Get back to work. Come on, man.
Matt's cruising this afternoon. Work's all done. Covered a major press conference yesterday.
Right?
Gets
no TV duties tonight.
Gets to carry the suit from the sidelines tomorrow.
Right.
fabulous.
He is prepped and all ready to go. We already knew that.
And he'll need to be. Louisville is bad. Notre Dame, big.
Irish, yes.
Sean, you got the Irish, too?
I do. I just said that.
Oh, okay.
I quacked some Irish, sorry.
Yeah, I was shocked that Notre Dame would be playing on the road to open the season at Louisville. That's the only shocking thing I saw.
Well, the reason is
way too physical for them.
The reason is this: Notre Dame has to play 5 ACC games a year as part of their agreement, which allows them to be in there for basketball and all the other sports. Louisville's an ACC team. Turns out that they were assigned to play the game on the road.
Wow! Did you ever hear when they had to play UConn? And Notre Dame refused to play at Rensselaer Field because it was too small, so they had to play at the Meadowlands.
There you go.
They ended up canceling the game, I think, because Notre Dame will only play if the stadium seats so many people. They won't. And Rensselaer Field only seats 40,000.
Well, Notre Dame until they expanded to 80 at 59,075.
What? Yeah. How many does their stadium seat?
Now they seat 80.
Yep,
they expanded
15 years ago. So up until about 2001, four, whatever, they had 59,075.
Wow. Yeah, they would only play Connecticut in the Meadowlands. They would not, and it ended up not happening. So
yeah,
Connecticut
but they
beat Wagner last night.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I talked to somebody about that today. But you know what? What's interesting about that? It's interesting how Notre Dame played at Fenway Park.
Yeah, that's a little bit different. You know, it's Fenway Park. I mean, it's an event, you know. Rensselaer Field's not an event at all. So it is interesting that they would play at a smaller, but it's just an event. The TV revenue would cover anything they lost
well,
on a ticket.
Plus,
so.
BC's an ACC team, so
yeah, but
they had to do it.
Yeah, but to play a football game at Fenway Park is huge, you know. That's just very special. I mean, they play outdoor hockey there, so.
Right.
Yeah. So. Anyway, let's see what happens. Is next week the NFL?
Yes.
You betcha.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Packers-Bears now in 6 days, bud.
Wow.
Packers-Bears
okay.
Thursday night, 100th year of the NFL.
Any picks for the Super Bowl?
No, but I will say this about college football uniforms. College football uniforms now have that 150 logo on it to go with the Nike swoosh, your conference logo, your team logo. Hey, for this season, they're going to look like NASCAR.
I noticed on the field last night for the Holy War with BYU and BYU and Utah, on the 50-yard line, they had the College Football 150 logo on the 50.
I can tell you what program doesn't have the logo on its field.
Good. I don't have to ask you that question if we'll see that tomorrow in Beaver Stadium. Okay.
Negatory.
Right. So I just wonder how many schools will do that here in the regular season.
I would guess schools that have field turf will do it.
Maybe ESPN has talked to the colleges. Well, we're going to be televising your games. I just wonder if they're going to, kindly ask the colleges maybe to do that on the turf so it looks good on TV.
Right. Yes, and my response would be thanks for showing up. All right, it's nice to have you here.
Could they monetarily for not doing it?
No, because take for example, if you put a logo on the field here at Beaver Stadium, logos kill grass.
Right.
I mean, logos are bad for grass, to be honest with you. It's one of the reasons
So why would a team do it and another team not do it?
If they have field turf.
Oh, okay.
Field turf. But I would tell them, logos kill grass. That's why Penn State doesn't have a logo. The 50-yard line kills the grass.
Right. Makes sense. Because one thing that surprised me this year was the Yankees wearing a black uniform.
Yeah, how about that? Those uniforms were awful.
That surprised me. They've never done that.
It reminded me.
They always wear their pinstripes no matter what.
The Dodgers specifically asked Major League Baseball about wearing their home uniforms for the Yankees game on Sunday night, and Major League Baseball told them absolutely not.
Mm, yeah.
Wow. Never seen that before. Never messed with that.
It reminded me of Spy versus Spy in the comic in Mad Magazine.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was weird to watch. And yeah. Then the Red Sox, who were they playing? It looked like it was the same black uniforms against white uniforms.
It was.
Why did they do that?
Because it was Players Weekend, and that's what they chose. I mean, they sat around in a conference room and a whole bunch of people said, hey, we think that's a great idea. Okay, you're all fired.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.